Chapter 25, Turbocharging and Supercharging. Introduction. Airflow requirements: naturally aspirated engines with throttle plates use atmospheric pressure to push an air-fuel mixture into the combustion chamber vacuum created by the downstroke of a piston. The mixture is then compressed before ignition to increase the force of the burning, or expanding gases. The greater the compression of the air-fuel mixture, the higher the engine power output resulting from combustion. A four-stroke engine can take in only so much air, and how much fuel it needs for proper combustion depends on how much air it takes in. Engineers calculate engine airflow requirements using three factors. 1. Engine displacement. 2. Engine revolutions per minute, or RPM. 3. Volumetric efficiency. Volumetric efficiency is a measure of how well an engine breathes. It is a comparison of the actual volume of air-fuel mixture drawn into an engine to the theoretical maximum volume that could be drawn in. Volumetric efficiency is expressed as a percentage. If the engine takes in the airflow volume slowly, a cylinder might fill to capacity. It takes a definite amount of time for the airflow to pass through all the curves of the intake manifold and valve port. Therefore, volumetric efficiency decreases as engine speed increases due to the shorter amount of time for the cylinders to be filled with air during the intake stroke. At high speed, it may drop to as low as 50%. The average stock gasoline engine never reaches 100% volumetric efficiency. A new engine is about 85% efficient. A race engine usually has 95% or better volumetric efficiency. These figures apply only to naturally aspirated engines. However, with either turbochargers or superchargers, engines can easily achieve more than 100% volumetric efficiency. Many vehicles are equipped with a supercharger or a turbocharger from the factory to increase power. See figures 25.1 and 25.2. Forced induction principles. Purpose and function: the amount of force an air-fuel charge produces when it is ignited is largely a function of the charge density. Charge density is a term used to define the amount of the air-fuel charge introduced into the cylinders. Density is the mass of a substance in a given amount of space. See figure 25.3. The greater the density of an air-fuel charge forced into a cylinder, the greater the force it produces when ignited, and the greater the engine power. An engine that uses atmospheric pressure for its intake charge is called a naturally, or, normally, aspirated engine. A better way to increase air density is to use some type of air pump, such as a turbocharger or supercharger. When air is pumped into the cylinder, the combustion chamber receives an increase of air pressure known as boost, and can be measured in pounds per inch too, known as PSI. Atmospheres known as ATM, or 1 atmosphere is 14.7 PSI, and bars or 1 bar is 14.7 PSI. Refer to figure 25.1, a supercharger on a Ford V8. Refer to figure 25.2, a turbocharged Ford 3-cylinder 1.0-liter EcoBoost engine. While boost pressure increases air density, friction heats air in motion and causes an increase in temperature. This increase in temperature works in the opposite direction, decreasing air density. Because of these and other variables, an increase in pressure does not always result in greater air density. Forced induction principles: forced induction systems use an air pump to pack a denser air-fuel charge into the cylinders. Because the density of the air-fuel charge is greater, the following occurs. The weight of the air-fuel charge is higher. Power is increased because it is directly related to the weight of an air-fuel charge consumed within a given time period. Pumping air into the intake system under pressure forces it through the bends and restrictions of the air intake system at a greater speed than it would travel under normal atmospheric pressure. This added pressure allows more air to enter the intake port before the intake valve closes. By increasing the airflow into the intake, more fuel can be mixed with the air, while still maintaining the same air-fuel ratio. The denser the air-fuel charge entering the engine during its intake stroke, the greater the potential energy released during combustion. In addition to the increased power resulting from combustion, there are several other advantages of supercharging an engine, including: it increases the air-fuel charge density to provide high compression pressure when power is required, but allows the engine to run on lower pressures when additional power is not required. The pumped air pushes the remaining exhaust from the combustion chamber during intake and exhaust valve overlap. Overlap is when both the intake and exhaust valves are partially open when the piston is near the top at the end of the exhaust stroke and the beginning of the intake stroke. The forced airflow and removal of hot exhaust gases lowers the temperature of the cylinder head, pistons, and valves, and helps extend the life of the engine. A supercharger or turbocharger pressurizes air to greater than atmospheric pressure. The pressurization above atmospheric pressure, or boost, can be measured in the same way as atmospheric pressure. Atmospheric pressure drops as altitude increases, but boost pressure remains the same. If a supercharger develops 12 psi, or 83 kilopascals, boost at sea level, it will develop the same amount at a 5,000 feet altitude because boost pressure is measured inside the intake manifold. See Figure 25.4. Refer to Figure 25.3. The more air and fuel that can be packed in a cylinder, the greater the density of the air-fuel charge. Boost and compression ratios. Boost increases the amount of air drawn into the cylinder during the intake stroke. This extra air causes the effective compression ratio to be greater than the mechanical compression ratio designed into the engine. The higher the boost pressure, the greater the compression ratio. This means that any engine that uses a supercharger or turbocharger must use all of the following engine components. Forged pistons, to withstand the increased combustion pressures. Stronger than normal connecting rods. Piston oil squirters that direct a stream of oil to the underneath part of the piston, to keep piston temperatures under control. Lower compression ratio compared to a naturally aspirated engine. See chart 25:1. Refer to Pike's Peak figure 25:4, atmospheric pressure decreases with increases in altitude. Refer to chart 25:1, the effective compression ratio compared to the boost pressure. Superchargers. Introduction. A supercharger is an engine-driven air pump that supplies more than the normal amount of air into the intake manifold, and boosts engine torque and power. A supercharger provides an instantaneous increase in power without any delay. However, a supercharger, because it is driven by the engine, requires horsepower to operate and is not as efficient as a turbocharger. A supercharger is an air pump mechanically driven by the engine itself. Gears, shafts, chains, or belts from the crankshaft can all be used to turn the pump. This means that the air pump or supercharger pumps air in direct relation to engine speed. Types of superchargers. There are two general types of superchargers. Roots type. Named for Philander and Francis Roots, two brothers from Connersville, Indiana, the Roots supercharger was patented in 1860 as a type of water pump to be used in mines. Later, it was used to move air and is used today on two-stroke cycle Detroit diesel engines and other supercharged engines. The Roots type supercharger is called a positive displacement design, because all of the air that enters is forced through the unit. Examples of a Roots type supercharger include the GMC 6-71, used originally on GMC diesel engines that had six cylinders each with 71-inch 3. See Figure 25.5. Centrifugal supercharger. A centrifugal supercharger is similar to a turbocharger, but is mechanically driven by the engine instead of being powered by the hot exhaust gases. A centrifugal supercharger is not a positive displacement pump and all of the air that enters is not forced through the unit. Air enters a centrifugal supercharger housing in the center and exits at the outer edges of the compressor wheels at a much higher speed due to centrifugal force. The speed of the blades has to be higher than engine speed, so a smaller pulley is used on the supercharger, and the crankshaft overdrives the impeller through an internal gearbox, achieving about 7 times the speed of the engine. Examples of centrifugal superchargers include Vortec and Paxton. Supercharger boost control. Many factory-installed superchargers are equipped with a bypass valve that allows intake air to flow directly into the intake manifold, bypassing the supercharger. The computer controls the bypass valve actuator. See Figure 25.6. Refer to Figure 25.5. A Roots-type supercharger uses two lobes to force the air around the outside of the housing and into the intake manifold. Refer to Figure 25.6. The bypass actuator opens the bypass valve to control boost pressure. The airflow is directed around the supercharger whenever any of the following conditions occur. The boost pressure, as measured by the MAP sensor, indicates that the intake manifold pressure is reaching the predetermined boost level. During deceleration, to prevent excessive pressure buildup in the intake, reverse gear is selected. Supercharger service. Superchargers are usually lubricated with synthetic engine oil inside the unit. This oil level should be checked and replaced as specified by the vehicle or supercharger manufacturer. The drive belt should also be inspected and replaced as necessary. The air filter should be replaced regularly, and always use the filter specified for a supercharged engine. Many factory supercharger systems use a separate cooling system for the air charge cooler, located under the supercharger. Check service information for the exact service procedures to follow. See Figure 25.7. Refer to Figure 25.7, a Ford supercharger cutaway display showing the Roots type blower and air charge cooler, or intercooler. The air charge cooler is used to reduce the temperature of the compressed air before it enters the engine to increase the air charge density. Tech tip: faster moves more air. One of the high-performance measures that can be used to increase horsepower on a supercharged engine is to install a smaller diameter pulley. The smaller the pulley diameter, the faster the supercharger will rotate and the higher the potential boost pressure will be. The change will require a shorter belt, and the extra boost could cause serious engine damage. Turbochargers. Introduction: the major disadvantage of a supercharger is that it takes some of the engine power to drive the unit. In some installations, as much as 20% of the engine power is used by a mechanical supercharger. A turbocharger uses the heat of the exhaust to power a turbine wheel and, therefore, does not directly reduce engine power. In a naturally aspirated engine, about half of the heat energy contained in the fuel goes out the exhaust system. However, some engine power is lost due to the exhaust restriction. This loss in power is regained, though, to perform other work, and the combustion heat energy lost in the engine exhaust, as much as 40% to 50%, can be harnessed to do useful work. Another 25% is lost through radiator cooling. Only about 25% is actually converted to mechanical power. A mechanically driven pump uses some of this mechanical output, but a turbocharger gets its energy from the exhaust gases, converting more of the fuel's heat energy into useful mechanical energy. See Figure 25.8. Parts involved: a turbocharger turbine looks much like a typical centrifugal pump used for supercharging. Hot exhaust gases flow from the combustion chamber to the turbine wheel. The gases are heated and expanded as they leave the engine. It is not the speed of force of the exhaust gases that forces the turbine wheel to turn, as is commonly thought, but the expansion of hot gases against the turbine wheel's blades. A turbocharger consists of two chambers connected with a center housing. The two chambers contain a turbine wheel and an impeller, compressor, wheel connected by a shaft which passes through the center housing. See Figure 25.9. Refer to Figure 25.8. A turbocharger uses some of the heat energy that would normally be wasted. Refer to Figure 25.9. A turbine wheel is turned by the expanding exhaust gases. To take full advantage of the exhaust heat that provides the rotating force, a turbocharger must be positioned as close as possible to the exhaust manifold. This allows the hot exhaust to pass directly into the unit with minimal heat loss. As exhaust gas enters the turbocharger, it rotates the turbine blades. The turbine wheel and compressor wheel are on the same shaft, so they turn at the same speed. Rotation of the compressor wheel draws air in through a central inlet and centrifugal force pumps it through an outlet at the edge of the housing. A pair of bearings in the center housing supports the turbine and compressor wheel shaft, and is lubricated by engine oil. See Figure 25.10. Both the turbine and compressor wheels must operate with extremely close clearances to minimize possible leakage around their blades. Any leakage around the turbine blades causes a dissipation of the heat energy required for compressor rotation. Leakage around the compressor blades prevents the turbocharger from developing its full boost pressure. Turbocharger operation: when the engine is started and runs at low speed, both exhaust heat and pressure are low and the turbine runs at a low speed, approximately 1000 RPM. Because the compressor does not turn fast enough to develop boost pressure, air simply passes through it, and the engine works like any naturally aspirated engine. As the engine runs faster or load increases, both exhaust heat and flow increase, causing the turbine and compressor wheels to rotate faster. Since there is no brake and very little rotating resistance on the turbocharger shaft, the turbine and compressor wheels accelerate as the exhaust heat energy increases. When an engine is running at full power, the typical turbocharger rotates at speeds between 100,000 and 150,000 RPM. The turbocharger is lubricated by engine oil through an oil line to the center bearing assembly. See Figure 25.11. Engine deceleration from full power to idle requires only a second or two because of its internal friction, pumping resistance, and drivetrain load. The turbocharger, however, has no such load on its shaft, and is already turning many times faster than the engine at top speed. As a result, it can take as much as a minute or more after the engine has returned to idle speed before the turbocharger also has returned to idle. If the engine is decelerated to idle and then shut off immediately, engine lubrication stops flowing to the center housing bearings while the turbocharger is still spinning at thousands of RPM. The oil in the center housing is then subjected to extreme heat and can gradually coke or oxidize. The coked oil can clog passages and will reduce the life of the turbocharger. The high rotating speeds and extremely close clearances of the turbine and compressor wheels in their housings require equally critical bearing clearances. The bearings must keep radial clearances of 0.003 to 0.006 of an inch, or 0.08 to 0.15 millimeters. Axial clearance, end play, must be maintained at 0.001 to 0.003 of an inch, or 0.025 to 0.08 millimeters. If properly maintained, the turbocharger also is a trouble-free device. However, to prevent problems, the following must be met. Refer to Figure 25.10. The exhaust drives the turbine wheel on the left, which is connected to the impeller wheel on the right through a shaft. The bushings that support the shaft are lubricated with engine oil under pressure. Refer to Figure 25.11. Engine oil is fed to the center of the turbocharger to lubricate the bushings and returns to the oil pan through a return line. The turbocharger bearings must be constantly lubricated with clean engine oil. Turbocharged engines usually have specified oil changes at more frequent intervals than non-turbocharged engines. Always use the specified engine oil, which is likely to be vehicle-specific and synthetic. Dirt particles and other contamination must be kept out of the intake and exhaust housings. Whenever a basic engine bearing, or crankshaft or camshaft, has been damaged, the turbocharger must be flushed with clean engine oil after the bearing has been replaced. If the turbocharger is damaged, the engine oil must be drained and flushed, and the oil filter replaced as part of the repair procedure. Late model turbochargers all have liquid-cooled center bearings to prevent heat damage. In a liquid-cooled turbocharger, engine coolant is circulated through passages cast in the center housing to draw off the excess heat. This allows the bearings to run cooler and minimize the probability of oil cooking when the engine is shut down. Turbocharger size and response time. A time lag occurs between an increase in engine speed and the increase in the speed of the turbocharger. This delay between acceleration and turbo boost is called turbo lag. Like any material, moving exhaust gas has inertia. Inertia also is present in the turbine and compressor wheels, as well as the intake airflow. Unlike a supercharger, the turbocharger cannot supply an adequate amount of boost at low speed. Turbocharger response time is directly related to the size of the turbine and compressor wheels. Small wheels accelerate rapidly, large wheels accelerate slowly. While small wheels would seem to have an advantage over larger ones, they may not have enough airflow capacity for an engine. To minimize turbo lag, the intake and exhaust breathing capacities of an engine must be matched to the exhaust and intake airflow capabilities of the turbocharger. Turbocharger failures. Symptoms of failure when turbochargers fail to function correctly, a noticeable drop in power occurs. To restore proper operation, the turbocharger must be rebuilt, repaired, or replaced. It is not possible to simply remove the turbocharger, seal any openings, and maintain decent drivability. Bearing failure is a common cause of turbocharger failure, and replacement bearings are usually only available to rebuilders. Another common turbocharger problem is excessive and continuous oil consumption, resulting in blue exhaust smoke. Turbochargers use small rings similar to piston rings on the shaft to prevent exhaust, or combustion gases, from entering the central bearing. Because there are no seals to keep oil in, excessive oil consumption is usually caused by the following. 1. Plug positive crankcase ventilation, or PCV, system, resulting in excessive crankcase pressures forcing oil into the air inlet. This failure is not related to the turbocharger, but the turbocharger is often blamed. 2. Clogged air filter, which causes a low pressure area in the inlet, drawing oil past the turbo shaft rings and into the intake manifold. 3. Clogged oil return, or drain, line from the turbocharger to the oil pan, or sump, which can cause the engine oil pressure to force oil past the turbocharger shaft rings and into the intake and exhaust manifolds. Obviously, oil being forced into both the intake and exhaust would create lots of smoke. Preventing turbocharger failures. To help prevent turbocharger failures, the wise vehicle owner should follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended routine service procedures. The most critical of these services include regular oil changes, synthetic oil would be best, regular air filter replacement intervals, and performing any other inspections and services recommended, such as cleaning the intercooler. Boost control. Purpose and function. Both supercharged and turbocharged systems are designed to provide a pressure greater than atmospheric pressure in the intake manifold. This increased pressure forces additional amounts of air into the combustion chamber over what would normally be forced in by atmospheric pressure. This increased charge increases engine power. The amount of boost, or pressure in the intake manifold, is measured in PSI, in inches of mercury, in bars, or in atmospheres. The following values will vary due to altitude and weather conditions. Barometric pressure. 1 atmosphere equals 14.7 PSI. 1 atmosphere equals 29.50 inches of mercury. 1 atmosphere equals 1 bar, and 1 bar equals 14.7 PSI. Boost control factors. The higher the level of boost pressure, the greater the horsepower output potential. However, other factors must be considered when increasing boost pressure. 1. As boost pressure increases, the temperature of the air also increases. 2. As the temperature of the air increases, combustion temperatures also increase, as well as the possibility of detonation. 3. Power can be increased by cooling the compressed air after it leaves the turbocharger. The power can be increased about 1% per 10 degrees Fahrenheit by which the air is cooled. A typical cooling device is called an intercooler. It is similar to a radiator, where an outside air can pass through, cooling the pressurized heated air. An intercooler is located between the turbocharger and the intake manifold. See Figure 25.12. Some intercoolers use engine coolant to cool the hot compressed air that flows from the turbocharger to the intake. 4. As boost pressure increases, combustion temperature and pressures increase, which, if not limited, can do severe engine damage. The maximum exhaust gas temperature must be 1550 degrees Fahrenheit, or 840 degrees Celsius. Higher temperatures decrease the durability of the turbocharger in the engine. Wastegate: turbochargers use exhaust gases to increase boost, which causes the engine to make more exhaust gases, which in turn increases the boost from the turbocharger. To prevent overboost and severe engine damage, most turbocharger systems use a wastegate. A wastegate is a valve similar to a door that can open and close. It is a bypass valve at the exhaust inlet to the turbine, which allows all of the exhaust into the turbine, or it can route part of the exhaust past the turbine to the exhaust system. If the valve is closed, all of the exhaust travels to the turbocharger. When a predetermined amount of boost pressure develops in the intake manifold, the wastegate valve is opened. As the valve opens, most of the exhaust flows directly out the exhaust system, bypassing the turbocharger. With less exhaust flowing across the vanes of the turbocharger decreases in speed, and boost pressure is reduced. When the boost pressure drops, the wastegate valve closes to direct the exhaust over the turbocharger vanes to again allow the boost pressure to rise. Wastegate operation is a continuous process to control boost pressure. The wastegate is the pressure control valve of a turbocharger system. It is usually controlled by the engine control computer through a boost control solenoid, also called a wastegate control valve. See Figure 25.13. Refer to Figure 25.12. The unit on top of this Subaru that looks like a radiator is the intercooler, which cools the air after it has been compressed by the turbocharger. Tech tip: boost is the result of restriction. The boost pressure of a turbocharger, or supercharger, is commonly measured in pounds per inch too. If a cylinder head is restricted because of small valves and ports, the turbocharger will quickly provide boost. Boost results when the air being forced into the cylinder heads cannot flow into the cylinders fast enough and piles up in the intake manifold, increasing boost pressure. If an engine had large valves and ports, the turbocharger could provide a much greater amount of air into the engine at the same boost pressure as an identical engine with smaller valves and ports. Therefore, by increasing the size of the valves, a turbocharged or supercharged engine will be capable of producing much greater power. Relief valves: a wastegate controls the exhaust side of the turbocharger. A relief valve controls the intake side. A relief valve vents pressurized air from the connecting pipe between the outlet of the turbocharger and the throttle whenever the throttle is closed during boost, such as during shifts. If the pressure is not released, the turbocharger turbine wheel will slow down, creating a lag when the throttle is opened again after a shift has been completed. There are two basic types of relief valves. 1. Compressor bypass valve, known as CBV. This type of relief valve routes the pressurized air to the inlet side of the turbocharger for reuse and is quiet during operation. 2. Blow-off valve, known as BOV. Also called a dump valve or vent valve, the BOV features an adjustable spring design that keeps the valve closed until a sudden release of the throttle. The resulting pressure increase opens the valve and vents the pressurized air directly into the atmosphere. This type of relief valve is noisy in operation and creates a whooshing sound when the valve opens. See Figure 2514. Refer to Figure 2513, a wastegate is used on many turbocharged engines to control maximum boost pressure. The wastegate is controlled by a computer-controlled valve. Refer to Figure 2514, a blow-off valve is used in some turbocharged systems to relieve boost pressure during deceleration. Tech tip. If one is good, two are better. A turbocharger uses the exhaust from the engine to spin a turbine, which is connected to an impeller inside a turbocharger. This impeller then forces air into the engine under pressure, higher than is normally achieved without a turbocharger. The more air that can be forced into an engine, the greater the power potential. A V-type engine has two exhaust manifolds, and so two small turbochargers can be used to help force greater quantities of air into an engine, as shown in Figure 2515. Refer to Figure 2515, a dual turbocharger system installed on a small block Chevrolet V8 engine. Nitrous oxide. Introduction: nitrous oxide is used for racing or high performance only, and is not used from the factory on any vehicle. This system is a relatively inexpensive way to get additional power from an engine, but can cause serious engine damage if not used correctly or in excess amounts, or without proper precautions. Principles: nitrous oxide, known as N2O, is a colorless, non-flammable gas. It was discovered by a British chemist, Joseph Priestley, who also discovered oxygen. Priestley found that if a person breathed in nitrous oxide, it caused lightheadedness, and so the gas soon became known as laughing gas. Nitrous oxide was used in dentistry during tooth extractions to reduce the pain and cause the patient to forget the experience. Nitrous oxide has two nitrogen atoms and one oxide atom. About 36% of the molecule weight is oxygen. Nitrous oxide is a manufactured gas because, even though both nitrogen and oxygen are present in our atmosphere, they are not combined into one molecule, and require heat and a catalyst to be combined. Engine power adder. A power adder is a device or system added to an engine, such as a supercharger, turbocharger, or nitrous oxide, to increase power. When nitrous oxide is injected into an engine along with gasoline, engine power is increased. The addition of N2O supplies the needed oxygen for the extra fuel. N2O by itself does not burn, but provides the oxygen for additional fuel that is supplied along with the N2O to produce more power. Note: nitrous oxide was used as a power adder in World War II on some fighter aircraft. Having several hundred more horsepower for a short time saved many lives. Pressure and temperature: it requires about 11 pounds of pressure per degree Fahrenheit to condense nitrous oxide gas into liquid nitrous oxide. For example, at 70 degrees Fahrenheit, it requires a pressure of about 770 psi to condense N2O into liquid. To change N2O from liquid under pressure to gas, all that is needed is to lower its pressure below the pressure it takes to cause it to become liquid. The temperature also affects the pressure of N2O. See chart 25:2. Nitrous oxide is stored in a pressurized storage container and installed at an angle so the pickup tube is in the liquid. The front or discharge end of the storage bottle should be toward the front of the vehicle. See Figure 25:16. Wet and dry system. There are two different types of N2O systems that depend on whether additional fuel, or gasoline, is supplied at the same time as when the nitrous oxide is squirted. Refer to chart 25:2, temperature and pressure relation for nitrous oxide. The higher the temperature, the higher the pressure. Figure 25:16. Nitrous bottles have to be mounted at an angle to ensure that the pickup tube is in the liquid N2O. Refer to Figure 25:17. An electrical heating mat is installed on the bottle of nitrous oxide to increase the pressure of the gas inside. Tech tip: increase bottle pressure. To increase the pressure of the nitrous oxide in a bottle, an electrical warming blanket can be used, as seen in Figure 25:17. The higher the temperature, the higher the pressure, and the greater the amount of N2O flow when energized. The wet system involves additional fuel being injected. It is identified as having both a red and a blue nozzle, with the red flowing gasoline and the blue flowing nitrous oxide. In a dry system, such as an engine using port fuel injection, only nitrous oxide needs to be injected because the PCM can be commanded to provide more fuel when the N2O is being sprayed. As a result, the intake manifold contains only air in the injected gaseous N2O. Engine change is needed for N2O, if nitrous oxide is going to be used to increase horsepower more than 50 horsepower. The engine must be designed and built to withstand the greater heat and pressure that will occur in the combustion chambers. For example, the following items should be considered if adding a turbocharger, supercharger, or nitrous oxide system. Forged pistons are best able to withstand the pressure and temperature when using nitrous oxide or other power adder. Cylinder-to-wall clearance should be increased. Due to the greater amount of heat created by the extra fuel and N2O injection, the piston temperature will be increased. Although using forged pistons will help, most experts recommend using increased cylinder-to-wall clearance. Using forged crankshaft and connecting rods. Check the instructions from the nitrous oxide supplier for details and other suggested changes. Caution: the use of a nitrous oxide injection system can cause catastrophic engine damage. Always follow the instructions that come with the kit and be sure that all of the internal engine parts meet the standards specified to help avoid severe engine damage. System installation and calibration. Nitrous oxide systems are usually purchased as a kit with all of the needed components included. The kit also includes one or more sizes of nozzles, which are calibrated to control the flow of nitrous oxide into the intake manifold. The sizes of the nozzles are often calibrated in horsepower that can be gained by their use. Commonly sized nozzles include 50 horsepower, 100 horsepower, and 150 horsepower. Installation of a nitrous oxide kit also includes the installation of an on-off switch and a switch on or near the throttle, which is used to activate the system only when the throttle is fully open, known as WOT. Review questions. 1. What are the reasons why supercharging increases engine power? 2. How does the bypass valve work on a supercharged engine? 3. What are the advantages and disadvantages of supercharging? 4. What are the advantages and disadvantages of turbocharging? 5. What turbocharger control valves are needed for proper engine operation? Chapter Quiz. 1. The term volumetric efficiency refers to the ability of an engine to A. create emissions, B. create heat, C. pull in air, D. distribute air evenly. 2. Boost pressure is generally measured in A. inch Hg, B. psi, C. inch H2O, D. inch pound. 3. Which valve is used on a factory supercharger to limit boost? A. bypass valve, B. wastegate, C. blow-off valve, D. air valve. 4. How are most superchargers lubricated? A. By engine oil under pressure through lines from the engine, B. by an internal oil reservoir, C. by greased bearings, D. no lubrication is needed because the incoming air cools the supercharger. 5. How are most turbochargers lubricated? A. By engine oil under pressure through lines from the engine, B. by an internal oil reservoir, C. by greased bearings, D. no lubrication is needed because the incoming air cools the supercharger. 6. Two technicians are discussing the term turbo lag. Technician A says that it refers to the delay between when the exhaust leaves the cylinder and when it contacts the turbine blades of the turbocharger. Technician B says that it refers to the delay in boost pressure that occurs when the throttle is first opened. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only, B. Technician B only, C. both technicians A and B, D. neither technician A nor B. 7. Technician A says that a stuck open wastegate can cause the engine to burn oil. Technician B says that a clogged PCV system can cause the engine to burn oil. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only, B. Technician B only, C. both technicians A and B, D. neither a technician A nor B. 8. What service operation is most important on engines equipped with a turbocharger? A. Replacing the air filter regularly, B. replacing the fuel filter regularly, C. regular oil changes, D. regular exhaust system maintenance. 9. What is the purpose of an intercooler? A. To reduce the temperature of the air entering the engine, B. to cool the turbocharger, C. to cool the engine oil on a turbocharged engine, D. to cool the exhaust before it enters the turbocharger. 10. Nitrous oxide injection adds what, allowing the engine to burn more fuel? A. NOx, B. oxygen, C. HC, D. CO2. End of chapter 25.